Welcome to Plants, People and Places, the podcast in which we speak with plants, people and find out what special connection they have with their plants. In this episode, we speak with Craig from Grow Paradise.
Welcome to the podcast, Craig. It's really good to see you. I've quite often bought plants from you from Grow Paradise as well. So I was really interested to get you on the podcast and learn a bit more about you and your favourite plants as well.
So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, pleasure. So first of all, could you just tell a bit about yourself, please? So whereabouts are you, for instance?
Yeah, no problem. So I'm down on Dorset's sunny south coast here in the UK.
Nice.
And I just run a small nursery out of our back garden that goes by the name of Grow Paradise, where we sell plants, ship them all over the UK, and kind of teach people how to grow their own patch of paradise through our YouTube channel.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, you've got some amazing plants I've seen as well. So what originally got you into horticulture? Were you always in horticulture, or did you change careers?
No, I am. I'm a career changer. I've always had a love of plants, but I don't think horticulture was anything that was really presented to me as a potential career choice when I was going through school. So I ended up doing video marketing at uni and worked in video marketing for a number of years. And it came to a point where I just needed a change. And I left that job in the mindset that I was going to go freelance doing similar work. And I was just procrastinating the whole time. I was just building our own garden at home. We just got our first place. So the first garden, I was just out buying plants, digging ponds in the middle of winter when it was snowing. But I just had to be out there doing the gardening. And my wife actually leant out the kitchen window and suggested that, why don't I train in this? Why don't I do a course? And maybe potentially do this as a career. So I learned the RHS level 2 initially.
All right.
Did part of it distance learning, part at a local college.
Yeah.
Volunteered at Abbotsbury Subtropical Gardens.
Oh, lovely.
Obviously right up my street. They've got all of those subtropical kind of style of plants. Mm-hmm. And then the college I was at offered me a job initially. So I worked there for a few months and that was great. And then Abbotsbury had a position become available. So I worked there for quite a few years looking after quite a large area there. And that was great fun. I was really in my element. Yeah, a frost-free environment where you can play with these weird plants is my dream. Yeah. And over time, like I say, we just got our first house. And then I got my first greenhouse and started propagating. Mm-hmm. For me, that's the best part of horticulture. I think it's the magic is taking cuttings, propagating from seed, because you can just grow so many things that other people aren't growing or you can't find available near where you are.
And
I propagated too much, so I had to start selling a few. And that's sort of how the shop came about. And I was documenting the whole thing on our YouTube channel as well, kind of creating our garden. And all the viewers were asking, where can we buy these plants? So it just, it made sense. None of it was planned at all. It all just sort of happened. And I've been doing it full time for my nursery now for probably 2 years, just over 2 years.
Oh, wow. All right. So how long were you at Abbotsbury then before that?
Good question. Possibly 4 or 5 years.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. And the way the gardens were split up there when I was there was each gardener takes ownership over quite a large area. So you really get to know the plants and the areas really well. You know what's coming into bloom, which hole's got a frog in it at what time of year. It's just, it was really nice.
Yeah. For anyone who hasn't been there, I mean, as a jungle plant person, you should really have been there. Can you just describe the garden a bit, please?
Oh, definitely. It's a very, very old garden that started off as a kitchen garden for a manor house that stood nearby on the coast, built by the Victorians. So it started off as a Victorian 1 acre walled garden. And now it's 25 to 30 acres of really heavily planted subtropical garden. They very, very rarely get a frost. You'll get all sorts of weird and wonderful plants. It's in a valley with the waters that come off the hills nearby flowing through. It's difficult to describe. When you're there, it's just got such a great atmosphere. And if you love kind of tropical style gardens, then it's, like you say, it's definitely worth a visit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And what about your own garden? Is it just nursery, or have you actually still got some garden left?
Uh, This is a battle between nursery and garden space all the time. So it started off as just garden, and I built my own mini stream going through the middle of it.
Yeah.
You can walk from one end of our garden to the other in about 10 seconds. It's tiny. But now, this winter, we've just, say, expanded the nursery. Basically, I squeezed in two more outside benches so we can grow more plants for our customers. Mm. And we've got now what we call the Paradise Patio Project. So it's your typical courtyard garden crammed full of tropical style plants. A lot of it's in pots. Just really sharing and experimenting myself to see how many weird and wonderful plants you can grow when you're limited on space.
Yeah.
And you can change that display through the season. So where so many other people at this time of year are starting to panic that autumn's on the way, I'm already excited about creating an evergreen tropical style display in winter.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So at least there's still some space for gardening left as well. That's good.
just about, but give it time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you might have to expand again. if you're now looking at all these plants, I know it's very difficult, but I'm always asking about people's favorite plants, really. But you could also do a top three. Have you got a specific favorite at all?
I think, well, I've been thinking about this and listening to previous guests you've had on the podcast. I heard someone say they didn't like begonias, and I feel like I need to stand up for begonias, especially hardy begonias. I'm not big into the big blousy flowering begonias, but I do love the like Begonia grandis, Begonia pedata feeder, those hardy herbaceous begonias that we can get. I'm going to defend them. They are well worth growing. I think I just like plants that thrive in spots that other plants or popular plants might struggle. So those begonias thriving in shade. I do love bromeliads as well. I think you've had a recent guest from Ventnor Botanic Garden saying he loved bromeliads. Yeah, they're great. Again, epiphytic, so thriving in a difficult spot. But a particular favourite I'd struggle with, probably actually Begonia luxurians. Not one of the hardy ones, now I've said that, but
worth growing though.
Definitely worth growing, and it can grow into a monster when you put it on with its enormous palm tree shaped leaves and the big red canes. I love that one.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I've grown it, and I still have it at work actually at Warmer Castle, and it hasn't gone out this year, but normally we do use it. But they can grow quite tall as well, can't they?
Yeah, they had one at Abbotsbury in a huge terracotta pot, and it must have been getting on for 2 to 3 meters tall.
Yeah.
And each leaf was maybe 50 centimeters across and flowered reliably every year. So you got the foliage, the height, and the flowers.
Yeah.
It's just a win-win.
Oh, absolutely. And it's very easy to overwinter as a cutting as well, isn't it? So
yeah, which is always great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and good to propagate as well if you're selling them. It's good.
Yes, but they tend to sulk a bit when you bring them indoors as a houseplant. So somewhere cool over winter, cool, slightly heated or frost-free greenhouse definitely seems to be best.
Yeah, oh, brilliant. Also, on the opposite side, really, are there any plants that you do hate? So it's not begonia like other guests. Is there anything you really can't stand?
I was thinking about this one earlier. Possibly, and this could be controversial, Ipomoea, just because when you've spent so long trying to get rid of bindweed and then you see those leaves, it's very, very similar.
Yeah.
The flowers are lovely.
Yeah.
Just the leaves.
Yeah, no, I do get it. Luckily, it's not as invasive. So,
no, this is true. This is true.
So people who have no bindweed in the gardens, they might like it. But yeah, I can see your point. I do find the very blue ones slightly fakeish as well, actually, those.
Yeah, there's some purple ones that almost glow as well that are quite intense. Yeah. They look great, don't get me wrong, scrambling up through larger shrubs. I love it when they're grown naturally like that.
Mm.
But yeah, it's... gives me the bindweed ick when I see them.
Have you got a lot of weeds in your garden, or is there no space for that either?
When we moved in, it had been rented out for, I think, 14 years. So it was just patio slabs and pebbles. And all there was one passion flower and then a sea of bindweed, which is probably why Ipomoea has such an effect on me.
Yeah.
But no, now it's so densely planted, I think I only have to weed once a year.
Yeah,
pulling out maybe four dandelions and that's it.
That
is
the advantage, isn't it, of like dense gardening. I've got that in my own garden.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, I can't actually get to anything anymore, but
yes,
hardly any.
Yeah, I know that feeling too.
Yeah, we'll see them in autumn again, something like that. Also, of course, it's plants, people, and places. So, are there any plants that have a particular meaning for you? Like, you have a connection with them because you got them from someone or you found them somewhere at all?
Yeah, so my grandparents on both sides of the family were into gardening, but on opposite ends of the gardener spectrum. So my mum's dad was big into creating like a Mediterranean looking garden,
Oh,
and he
wow.
used to visit Abbotsbury quite a lot. And he had an agave Americana that I think he may have bought from abroad somewhere many, many, many years ago, and it has grown into a monster. And it's produced so many offsets that I've got one, my sister's got one, and I think everybody in the family's got one. So that one, it's got a bit of kind of a family tie to it. But the original plant, it's vicious. And we have had to move it in and out of greenhouses from house to house as my parents have moved, and it has drawn blood so many times. The second one is probably a surprise to people that know that I love kind of tropical or unusual plants, is Lily of the Valley. Because my granddad on my father's side, he loved everything orderly, evenly spaced, stripes on the lawn. And he had a clump of Lily of the Valley at the front of his house. And I helped him look after his garden as he got older. And he would not let me touch that clump because he bought it from his mother's house and he grew a bit. So I've got a bit of that as well. A surprisingly unexciting plant for me to get kind of excited about. But like I say, when they've got those family ties, it's just nice.
Oh, yeah, it is. I have actually got quite a few variegated lily of the valley if you're after
Have
any.
you?
Yeah,
I've
because
never
it's.
seen a variegated one.
Haven't you? This is my
No.
national collection is variegated and yellow-leaved lily of the valley. So,
Ah, okay.
so
Might have to have
far,
a
I'm
look at some
actually
of
giving it
those.
up. So I will have some plants spare.
Okay, right. Put me down on the
That's it.
list.
The other thing, I've also got the plant of the episode, and normally I record that afterwards, but I thought for this time I'll do that with you because it's actually a plant that you've sent me this week and one to add to my national collection of bromelia, which is really, really good. And maybe we can talk a bit about that as well because I haven't actually grown it, but clearly you have. That is Bromelia nivea. So bromelia are nettles, Asiatic nettles, or from nettle family really. But they don't sting, luckily, and they don't tend to spread too much either. They just form a nice clump generally. And nivea is the one that is used for the fiber, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, I think Bramy is the common name. So, yeah, you get really good fibers out of it. I think I read somewhere it was edible as well. Possibly
Yes,
make a tea with parts of it. Yeah.
I think so. Isn't it sort of like spinachy they make out of it? Or I might be
I've not tried it
guessing
yet. You can let me
that.
know on that one.
But can you tell me a bit more about it at all? Like, where did you get it, for instance?
It's a plant that I've grown from seed. We've grown it on the nursery for a couple of years now. It's actually seeing your national collection. You got me excited about Bromeria.
Oh, good.
I've grown that one and a few other larger leaved forms. I just love that one because of the white underside of the leaf. It grows so quickly from seed. I sowed what I thought was a small amount for you when you asked, and because the seed is so small, I have a forest of Bromeria. And I'm tight on space as it is. But yeah, I love it. I love it for its foliage. And like I say, the rate of growth on them is great.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, even the young plants that you sent me, which were probably about 20, 25 centimeters tall, I think, you can already
Yeah.
see that white underside of them as well, which I
Yes.
was told is like the feature of Bromelia nivea. And if you don't know it, I mean, look at a normal stinging nettle, really. That's what the leaf more or less looks like. Slightly paler, perhaps, but really lovely plant and very hardy, of course, and loves shade. So it is one of those
Yes.
for really good shady corners. If you've got a nice shady jungle garden or anything, then that's really good as well. Good. I mean, thank you again for sending that Bromelia, because Bromelia nivea is the one that is actually the most grown worldwide. But I could never get it. I tried getting it, and then it turned out to be a different one. And then I got some seeds as well that never came up. So you must have
Okay.
the special touch with
Oh, I
that.
don't know. Like I say, I do love propagation, but I bought a lot of seed. I'm talking possibly 10,000 seeds.
Oh,
So if you
really?
ever need any more, and that seed just seems to come up so well, I'm happy to share.
Oh, no, thank you very much for that. Yeah. So looking into horticultural heroes as well, have you got any particular person that you think, oh, they're my hero?
I think through my training, each head gardener on the way, I realise now in retrospect, just all of the little tips they've given me along the way. So Nigel from Kingston Morwood College, he's been there decades, and yeah, he was fantastic. Steve, the head gardener at Abbotsbury, imparted a lot of knowledge while he was there. But more generally speaking, and I think I share this with another recent guest, is oh my God, I've forgotten his name. Will Giles.
Oh, yes.
Will Giles with his exotic garden. I've got his books. They're just whenever I think, oh, I'm growing something that's new, I can introduce this to the nursery, show it to people. I might be flicking through his book with a cup of tea, and I see that he was doing it years and years ago. He was just so ahead, way, way,
Oh,
way ahead.
absolutely.
And if I ever start to get by, let's say, late spring, summer, I start to feel a bit fatigued. Oh, it's just been putting plants in boxes and growing a bit worn out. I get that book and it just re-enthuses me every single time.
Oh, it is amazing. If you do ever see it in a charity shop or anything, do get the Will Giles book.
Oh, yeah,
It's not
definitely.
only amazing, it's also very, very expensive now because they don't make it
Yes.
anymore. I'm sure I said this in the other episodes where someone said Will Giles as well, but I was just very, very lucky to see the garden 2 weeks before he died, and it did then shut as well. And I think really that has been the garden for me that got me into the jungle theme, and ultimately led me to writing my own book as well. So really,
Yeah.
really pleased I saw that. And a great horticultural hero, because we should not forget about Will Giles ever, really,
No,
because
definitely not.
for
And
our
I think
stylist.
somebody else who features in your book, Mike Clifford,
Oh yeah.
he's definitely influenced what I grow a lot. Just he was a regular guest at Abbotsbury when I was there, and he'd often share plants with the gardeners and with the garden. And yeah, he's definitely helped me out along the way.
So if people wanted to buy your plants, can they just do it online, or do you sell face to face as well?
So online is our main place. At our website's growparadise.co.uk. And I do attend local markets. So if you're ever in Dorset, I do Bridport Market and Abbotsbury's plant fairs each season as well. We might do more plant fairs in the future, but at the moment it's one man trying to juggle growing the plants, getting out selling them, making the videos. I enjoy all of it and I wish there were more hours in the day, but there's not. So online's your best bet because that's where the biggest range is going to be. And we sell seeds as well, including the Bohemeria nivea seeds. I
Oh,
think
I
we've got
might have
some
to
of those
try again
available.
myself.
But yeah, that's the best places. And like I say, the YouTube channel as well, where we just kind of teach, share garden tours, show kind of my trials and tribulations of the garden here. Just sharing the passion, really. I'm happy to talk about plants all day long.
Oh, I know. That's great. And the YouTube channel we can just find by searching Grow Paradise.
Grow Paradise, yeah, you'll see my face pop up.
Brilliant. And I did a friend of mine bought some plants from you recently as well, and they were very, very pleased. So
Good.
and I know myself as well, the quality is always great, and it's just the rarities as well, which is amazing. So
Thank you, I appreciate it.
definitely well done.
Thank
Great.
you very much. We try our best in the small space we've got, especially when I've spent so long growing them. I'm keen to make sure they arrive to everybody in tip-top condition too.
Yes, exactly. You don't want
I
them all.
learned that the hard way.
Yeah, I know. I've been sending some manihots recently, and oh, they're
Oh,
just a nightmare to send. But
yeah.
that's right. Right, Craig. Well, thank you very much for being on the podcast. It's been really great talking to you, and all the best. I think the Abbotsbury Plant Fair is coming up soon as well, isn't it? So good luck with that, and thank you again.
No problem. Thank you very much.
If you'd like to find out more about the plants mentioned in this episode, then have a look on our Instagram page at Plants, People and Places.